Let's look in the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 134. We'll start out there, Psalm 134. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Psalms 134. We'll be preaching out of Psalm 136, but I want to read Psalm 134 with it. Lord, we thank you this morning for your goodness and for your grace. We ask you, God, to meet with us this morning. We have needs, and Lord, there's a lot of people in this building. No doubt there's a multitude of needs as well, God, many different things going on in people's lives, and I pray, God, that you would help them. But I pray, oh God, most of all, that you would introduce yourself into their lives. And if they're already saved, God, I pray that you would inspire us and prepare us, God, for the week ahead. Help us to get our hearts right, get our hearts prepared. And Lord, I thank you, God, for what you'll do once that takes place. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Amen. Amen. All right, Psalm chapter 134. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. I guess if God can make the world, he can bless you, amen? If God can do all these great things that it says that he can do in the Bible, there's no question that he can do great things in our lives. Sometimes we forget that, though. Sometimes we forget that we serve a real God. Amen. A lot of times people just get a broad view of religion, and they really don't count too much on God. They got God and they got the church membership and they went to church last Easter and all these things, you know, they're religious. And we sometimes we get in that mode ourselves as Bible believers. We just get to kind of like the nation of Israel. They knew God, they met God, they saw God's wonderful works. And then God gave them a very powerful tool in their arsenal. It was the Ark of the Covenant. And they just depended on the Ark of the Covenant rather than the God that gave them the plans to build that Ark of the Covenant. So you and I can get like that once in a while, too. We got our Bible in our prayer closet, and we got our church, and we got our, Wednesday night meeting, and we got the teen meetings, and we got choir practice, and things kind of get broad and spread out when it ought to be focused on God. I think the focus ought to be on God when you're at choir practice. I think your focus ought to be on God when you're on your visitation program. Amen. I think a lot of times as young men, you slip into the mode where you're doing the visiting and you're doing this and you're doing that. And really, it ought to be God doing that. It's God that worketh in you, both the will and to do of his good pleasure. And so, but we're creatures of habit. We get into a routine and we know our church better than we know God. Yep. And nothing wrong with knowing your church. You ought to know your church. And some people know their Bible, and this is a strange statement I'm going to make, but in a sense it can be true. Some people know their Bible better than they know their God. Chapter and verse, and sometimes in a church like ours, we make these little Bible maps, you know, go to this verse on this topic, and then you go to that verse on that topic, and then you go to that verse, and we got a little Bible mapped out in the back of our Bible, but that's about the extent of it when you really need to know the God that wrote that Bible, amen? And I'm real big on the Bible. There's no question about that. The Bible, it's the way it ought to be, amen? That's what the Bible is. What is the Bible? The Bible is the book that tells you the way it ought to be. Amen. Well, you say, what is it? It is everything. Amen. The Bible is how your marriage ought to be. The Bible is how your religion ought to be. The Bible, some people don't even like the word religion. You know, people that know their Bible better than they know God, they don't like religion. They'll stand in the pulpit and say, I hate religion. Well, you do. Well, true religion and undefiled is in the Bible. True religion. What you meant to say was you hate false religion. Amen? That's what you meant to say. But then you get all these followers. Yeah, we hate religion. God don't hate religion as long as it's true and undefiled. Amen? Amen. But see, the same God that was in the Old Testament is the same God that's in the New Testament. We don't serve two gods. There's one God. It doesn't matter what anybody teaches about the Trinity or anything like that. Jesus Christ was God. Amen. He's the Son of God. And matter of fact, we had a little discussion about that on Wednesday night. For those of you who only come on Sunday morning, I'll give you a little bit of taste of it. The question come up about if Jesus was God, why was he praying to God like he was two different people. And Brother Allen gave a good answer on that. And that's something good to think about. And Jesus wasn't just another man, and he wasn't just God. He was God and he was man. But listen, the life of Christ was substitutionary. Why did he pray to God? Because you don't pray to God good enough. He did it for you. Amen. Amen? It's substitutionary. Jesus was, but he was your substitute. He wasn't a substitute God. He was God. He was God. So we don't serve a different God. And the God that we serve in the New Testament is still a powerful God. Still an all-knowing God. Amen. He's still omnipotent. He knows and is able to do everything. Amen. So that's what we're going to talk about. And that's what I read to you here. Behold, he said, look up here real close. Once he's got your attention, he says, bless the Lord. Your life ought to bless the Lord. Most folks are familiar with the Sermon on the Mount where the Lord says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And he goes through what most people call the Beatitudes. And he tells you, you'll be blessed if you do certain things. Well, the Lord wants to be blessed too. Amen? Yeah. The Lord's awful good at blessing. The Lord's been good at blessing some of you folks. He really has. Yeah. And I think sometimes the people that doubt him the most are some of the people that God has shown his power to. The most of all, the children of Israel, he brought them out of Egypt and he took them across the Red Sea on dry land. As if that wasn't enough, he made bitter water sweet. He gave them water out of a rock. He gave them food and he gave them bread and he gave them bread from heaven. The Bible says they ate angels' food. He gave them quail, gave them more than enough. Amen. Their shoes didn't even fall apart 40 years in the desert. That's pretty good. Amen. Yeah. That's better than Nike could do with a flag or without a flag. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So what I'm talking about is God was able to do all them wonderful things for Israel, and they were the first ones to forget him. And that's the way it is for us sometimes. It's not just that they just forgot him, because you don't forget, your provider most of the time. But what I'm trying to talk about is you get in a rut or you get into a routine and you kind of forget that this stuff is real. Yeah. Amen. And you watch so much Netflix and HBO that when it comes time to really believe and trust in God, it's hard to do that because you've been getting soaked up in all that junk. Amen. Brother Allen mentioned country music a while ago. The biggest reason I think folks ought not to listen to country music is just depressing. Right. Oh, preacher, I got a problem with depression. Could you help me out on it? Well, first of all, turn your radio off. My prescription is turn your radio off for 3 weeks and then come back and tell me if you still got the problem. I mean, there may be something there, but let's check the simplest things first. Amen, because that stuff's just depressing. Amen? And we was in some store yesterday, I forget which one it was, Ollie's or something like that, and they was playing the worst, I don't know what it was. It was mind-numbing. I told Ruth, I walked around and I didn't see much I liked, but one or two of things, but I started looking at these plates, and we need some new plates, and I was about to buy them, but this song kept... It was like somebody was taking a bandsaw and running it back and forth through my head. I thought, man, I got to get out of here. I can't take it no more. People come to church on Sunday morning. Preacher, I think I've got a few issues. I know what some of it is. Amen. Turn your radio off a little bit. Amen. It'll help you out. Amen. It really would. But you get into those cases, you got so much, Brad Pitt and Elvis Presley and all these other folks, and you forget you really serve a good God. You serve a God. Listen, you can come. Listen, pastors and evangelists and teachers, they're supposed to be here to answer your questions and help you get through and all this stuff. But what you forget is that you got a God that'll come deal with you personally when you're on the backside of the desert, and he'll come to you. He'll come to where you're at. God gave you pastors and teachers. I'm not trying to get out of any work or trying to get anybody else out of having to do anything for you. I'm just telling you that God will deal with you personally. He's able to do that. He's able to, he's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere. That's one of them fancy words. It means he's everywhere. He don't just hang out with your pastor. I got to go talk to the pastor. God did give you a pastor for that, but he'll talk to you as well. Amen? He surely will. So he says, bless the Lord. Bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house. Some people in church at night and on at Sunday school. Boy, it got real quiet right there. Sunday school at 10. Boy, I like going to church on Sunday morning. You ought to be in Sunday school and Sunday night service. And you say, well, what's that got to do with anything, Brother Mike? Well, not much. I just wanted to mention it. Well, you know how it is, you know. I got a baby. Yeah, you ain't the first one to ever have a child. See, we was talking about things that God done in the past that he'll do again. Somebody done it before.
Yes, sir.
Amen. But if you're talking about forgetting your God and you're not able to, you know, deal with life, it might be because you might not be coming to church enough. That's just one of the possibilities.
That's right.
Amen. I was mad when they said unto me, let us go to the house. Is that the way that goes? That's the way it goes for a lot of you. Amen. You ain't mad at me for inviting you to church on Wednesday night, are you? If your cousin didn't invite you to the family reunion, you wouldn't speak to him for 5 years. Well, I just invited you to Wednesday night service and Sunday school too. But you say, how does that help, Brother Mike? Well, it says that the people that are in the house of the Lord continually, they bless the Lord. Amen. They're a blessing to the Lord. He said, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. It'd do some of you good to get involved. Amen. Well, Brother Mike, I just don't feel like being too emotional. Well, not at church, but you feel like being emotional for the Washington Redskins or the Philadelphia Eagles. How many Philadelphia, I know we got Philadelphia Eagles fans all over the house, don't we? I told a Philadelphia Eagles coach the other night on my second job. He broke down on Highway 1, and I told him distinctly, I said, I'm going to charge you double, and I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. You know what he said? This is a Philadelphia Eagles coach. Y'all hate the Cowboys. This Philadelphia Eagles coach said, I love the Cowboys. Now, I've ruined most of you's week. I probably shouldn't even preach the rest of this sermon. Because you won't be paying attention because our coach, because you play on the team. My coach, he likes the Cowboys. See, you know more about the Cowboys or the Redskins or the Eagles or the Ravens than you know about God. That's why you can't get involved in here. You're emotionally invested in touchdowns.
Yeah.
But you ought to get emotionally invested in the God that saved your soul. And that way when they start singing, it's well with my soul, you start putting up them hands in the sanctuary.
Amen.
Some of you used to put your hands up in the sanctuary, but you don't do it no more.
Amen.
Something else got your attention. Something else got your attention. I want to try to get your attention back on the God that saved you this morning.
Right.
Let's look in Psalm 136, and I try to go through this as quickly as possible. He says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Ain't that true?
Amen.
And I think you'll find that whatever your emotional state is, you might be depressed or feeling grief. We all get in those places from time to time, but I'll tell you, a good remedy for that is to get to the place where you can start thanking the Lord. Thanking the Lord. Remember what he's done in the past, because what I'm trying to get across to you this morning is if God's done it before, he'll do it again.
Amen.
If God has done it in the past, he's going to do it again. And he will do it again. You begin to think, well, I remember when I was in a jam last time, and I didn't know where my bacon was going to come from, and I didn't know where my rent was going to come from. But I remember God come through for me and did such great and wonderful things for me. And then next thing you know, you'll be distracted, and while you're distracted, God will take care of your problem for you. Give you another reason to shout her out, amen? That's the way God does. Say, well, I ain't been really living good enough for God to do nothing for me. Well, join the club.
Amen.
I said, well, I ain't going to that church, a bunch of hypocrites. Join the club, man. We all hypocrites. Every one of us.
Yep.
And the one sitting there going, I ain't no hypocrite. You're the biggest one.
Yep. Come on.
Amen. And God's blessed you time and time and time again. You just got to the place where you forgot that and got cold on God. And you used to say amen, but now you don't say amen no more. I mean, even if I realize that some people might be made up just a little bit different, but at least you'd be sitting there going. There was a time when you heard preaching, you had a big old smile on your face. Now you hear preaching, you just yawn. And I just seen somebody yawn, and I wasn't talking to you directly, but I'm just saying, used to be that way. Amen. Just yawn with a smile on your face. Amen. Glad to be here. Glad to be a Bible believer. Glad to be on God's side. Amen. Even if you're a little bit backslid, you'd be glad to be on God's side. You ain't going to hell, are you? Preacher, I sure am cold, and I've been listening to that music, and I've been living that lifestyle I shouldn't have. Well, you're going to heaven, ain't you? Start right there. Start right there. So, preacher, I was planning on going to the bar next week. Well, if you're saved, God's planning on you going to heaven. Something got to give somewhere. Amen? Something got to give somewhere. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good, for his mercy endureth forever. So, boy, preacher, I've been living kind of bad. I've been kind of backslid, and I've been way off. Well, God's still good. God's mercy endures forever. God's still merciful. Remember back when you got saved, that same merciful God exists today. He didn't get backslid while you was backslid. He didn't go out of business. You know, sometimes you leave one place, like we left this place for 10 years and we come back. Some of the places that was open while I was here, some of the places that was in service, no longer in service. Get out 5 or 6 years, move away 5 or 6 years, come back, your favorite restaurant closed down. Well, some of you been out serving the devil. You come back, God not closed. He ain't went out of business. Amen. 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 You say, well, he probably hates me for the way I've been living. He don't hate you. He loves you. Amen. You say, how do you know he loves me? He loved you the first time, didn't he? Amen. God ain't like a man. God ain't like a woman. Love you while things is good. And to heck with you if you ain't doing nothing for me.
Come on.
That's the way relationships go this day and time. God not like that.
Thank God.
You say, Brother Mike, I'm looking for somebody that'll do me right. Well, don't look for it in a woman or a man. Look for it in God.
Amen.
Amen. God's the kind of God that's good enough that he'll give you the strength to put up with some of these boneheads you've been putting up with. I don't know why it should get quiet right there. But it's true. Amen. He says, oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. So I saw Peyton Manning win a Super Bowl. God created the universe. Amen? I saw Bruce Willis jump off the top of a skyscraper and shoot a bad guy on every floor on the way to the bottom and landed in a swimming pool. God made heaven and earth. He wasn't even pretending when he done it. He didn't need a green screen to do all the things that he's done. He done that stuff for real, amen? Oh, it's going to be a long day. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule the day, to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. Did you know that God made the heaven and the earth? Did you know God made the heaven and the earth? I want to point this out because what I'm trying to get across to you this morning is what God done before, he's going to do it again.
Amen.
If you read the book of Ecclesiastes, go home and read it for yourself. Everything runs in cycles. He says in the book of Ecclesiastes, the thing that hath been will be. Some of you may not know it, but there was a time when you shouted. There might be a time when you shout again. You say, why? Because his mercy endureth forever. There used to be a time when you got excited when the choir sang. Maybe run around a little bit. You might do that again. Because if God done it before, he can do it again. Amen. Sure. You say, I want to be like God. We'll start doing some things again.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. That's right. But what I'm talking about is things that's been done before God will do again. God made the heaven and the earth. Over in Revelation chapter 21, the Bible said he makes a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now listen, I might not be able this morning to convince you about good music or bad music. I might not be able to convince you that your lifestyle, as they say, the Bible calls it a conversation, the way you move through this earth. I may not be able to convince you that your way of doing it is not the good way to do it. You may not be spiritual enough to understand. I might not be smart enough to understand your situation. But this one thing I know, God made this earth. It belongs to him.
Yeah.
And one of these days, God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth.
Yeah.
Wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now the question I got for you is, are you going to fit there? If he makes a new heaven, and if he makes a new earth, and in that new heaven and the new earth, there's no more whorehouses, and no more discos, and no more rap music, and no more rock music, and no more country music, and no more of this stuff that you chase, no more dollar bills, and no more CEOs, and no more career paths, and no more career ladders. When he makes a new heaven and a new earth, are you going to fit there?
Yeah.
You going to fit there? If it's a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness rather than Apple Corporation or the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, are you going to fit in? When there's no more National Football League or National Baseball League or National Basketball League, are you going to fit? Are you going to fit? I don't care if you give your entire life to liking basketball or following Michael Jordan or Michael Jackson for that matter. Are you going to fit in the new world? You going to fit there? Because it's a legitimate question that you ought to consider. Amen? Amen. He says to him that stretched out the earth above the waters. And then that's what it says here. That's something he'd done in the past. Revelation 21 says he's going to make a new one.
Amen.
And I'll tell you this. When he's describing here verse 1 through 9 about him creating the heaven and the earth, you know what went along with that? He created a man, put him in that heaven and earth. So, Brother Mike, you asked the question about would I fit in that new heaven and new earth. Now, listen. You said, Brother Mike, I'm already mad at you. I'm not listening to you. That's fine, but just let me point this out to you. Only the people that he lets in will be in there.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
You can't go in the way you are. You can't go in the way you are. He said, well, I'm saved and God's going to change me. Yeah, but why don't you get started on the change a little bit early?
Amen.
Why don't you find out what he likes and try to, as it said in the other chapter of Psalms that we just read, be a blessing to him while you're here.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know the way everything's going to happen,
yeah,
but I do know this. I know I'd be kind of embarrassed if I knew I was on my way to heaven. Y'all, preacher, I'm saved, and that's all I need to worry about. But wouldn't it be an embarrassment that when the Lord actually had to physically change me and put me into heaven, that the contrast was so great between this life and what he changed me into that I was just basically ashamed of everything I'd ever done? You say you trusted Christ, but you never went to Sunday school. You say you went to Christ, but you never read the Bible through the week. Oh, that's for you preachers. No, it's for you.
Yeah.
The Bible's for you.
Yeah,
the Bible's not, this is not the Catholic Church. This is not a priesthood. You have as big and as much of a part in Christianity as I do. And I'd hate to get to heaven knowing, I'd hate to get to heaven because I was saved, because that's the only way you get to heaven.
Yeah.
You don't get to heaven by going to church. You get to heaven because you're saved, because Jesus died for you on the cross. But I'd hate to get to heaven with the knowledge that I truly did love rap music, and I spent more time memorizing rap, if you can call them songs. But in my head, I had more Johnny Cash memorized than I did the book of Matthew. Now I got to spend the rest of my eternity with the one that wrote Matthew, but I spent my life memorizing Angelina Jolie movies and trying to look like her or look like him or act like him or dress like him. I spent more. Amen? You preachers can't tell me how to dress. I'd hate to get to heaven and find out that I fashioned myself after Brad Pitt or Elvis Presley rather than my preacher. Oh, you preachers can't tell us what to do. Nobody's trying to run your life. But I'm telling you this. I'd hate to get to heaven and find out and have God look me in the face knowing you had rather look like that than me. Now, that's something you're really going to have to deal with. Yeah. On your preacher can't make you do nothing.
Right.
But even if I did make you do it, or even if the pastor made you do it, it wouldn't count for you anyway. Amen? So what's he talking about? He's talking about something he'd done before that he can do again. And I'm here to tell you, God can make a new man. God can take a man that's an alcoholic and make him sober as the judge.
Amen.
Amen. So, Brother Mike, you don't know the drug I'm hooked on. God is a setter free of men. He sets folks free. He changes people's hearts. He does great and mighty things for lowly men. Amen.
Yep.
David was amazed that God would even take time to even think about a worm. Amen.
Yep.
But he does.
Thank God.
God looking down here at men that don't mean nothing, don't amount to anything. And he sees them the same as he does any CEO of any company anywhere. And all he says is, I could do something with him. I could do something with him. Amen. Amen. You know, the devil come to God one time and said, look at this fella, Job. Actually, God said to the devil, look at this fella, Job. And the devil said, yeah, I seen him. But the only reason he is the way, only reason why he's a goody two-shoes is because you keep him safe from everything. You know what God said? God didn't say, well, I'm going to let you destroy him just to see what would happen. God said, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'm going to show you what kind of man I can make.
Yeah.
And he put some bad stuff on him. Took away all his kids. Took away all his money. Took away everything that he had. And what did Job do? He went over there and sat down in the ash heap and said, God, I want to understand. I've even heard preachers rail on Job. Well, he didn't know this. He didn't know that. No, you don't rail on Job. Job's a hero.
That's right.
If God took away most of our stuff, we'd quit. If God took away most of our stuff, we would. If we get a raise, God's blessed me this week.
Yeah.
If we lose our job, I don't see why God let this happen to me. I read my Bible every day. Job didn't do that. Job went and sat down in the ash heap and said, boy, I really want to understand what's going on here. And I think at the end of the day, and this wasn't recorded in the Bible, but I think at the end of the day, the Lord turned to the devil and said, okay, now what you got to say? And he didn't glorify Job, it glorified himself. Did you know that God can not only give you a new heart and new desires, but he can give you the kind of tough skin that can go through the fire? And it's all right for you to ask why and what's going on. It's all right for you to do that. You just don't quit when things get hard. You don't quit. You say, where do I get that kind of strength? From God only. You say, how do you know God will do it for me? Because he done it before. Because he done it before, amen. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen. David found out a time in his kingdom where everybody wanted him out. We don't want you no more. We want your boy. We want your boy instead of you. And they took David's son over and tried to make him a king. And David went out. And you know what David was on his way out of the kingdom? He was still the king. He went down and hid in a cave. You know what he was? He was still a king. Amen. David was the king while they was bowing down at Absalom's feet. Don't matter what people call Absalom, David's the king. You know how David got back on the throne? Because David never stopped being the king. Amen. You say, well, how do I get back to the place where I was? You never stopped being a Christian. You never stopped being God's son. You might have thought you was God's son because you had money or because you read your Bible, but no, you're God's son because God loved you enough to die for you. And when things gets hard, the same God that loved you enough to die for you loved you while you ain't got no more money. So, well, preacher, I got evicted. The same God that loved you enough to die for you loved your homeless rear end. Amen. When your whole world falls apart, ask God why. Sit down in the ash heap. Spend some time worried about it. Spend some time praying about it. But don't give up on God, because the same God that put Job back in all his houses and lands and gave him twice of what he had before, he'll give you the same thing, do the same thing for you. The same God that made heaven and earth, going to make a new one. The same God that's been making men since day one, make a new man out of you if you'd let him.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. Sometimes we get our eyes focused on things. But I tell you what, there's going to be a disillusionment. At some point in time, there'll be a disillusionment coming down the road for all this worldly thing. I grew up looking at Marines. All of my family was Marines. Marines, Marines, Marines. I lived, eat, sleep, whatever, thinking about the Marines. I joined the Marines, loved the Marines. For 30 years, I've been out of the Marines. 30 years ago, I went to boot camp in June. And I think all the, and you know, I thought, boy, I'd love to get back in touch with my drill instructors. Man, those were the greatest heroes on earth. And I finally got in touch with one of them and found out he is liberal and gun control. I'm like, how does a sergeant major in the Marine Corps be for gun control? You say, what is that? That's disillusionment. Disillusionment. You can't put your trust in man. You got to put your trust in God. Say, so, well, I was used to be a good Christian, but one of those Christians hurt my feelings. One of those preachers said something. He talked about Michael Jackson, and I just don't stand for that. Well, honey, when your feelings get done hurting, you come back to the altar and pray about it, and God will help you out, okay? Even if the preacher is a bad guy, God still loves you, honey.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Verse number 10. Let's look at verse number 10. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea in parts, for his mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. Listen, God, back in the Old Testament, was a way maker. Now, you'd have to admit that the Red Sea is a pretty big obstacle. And the Lord said, and it blew apart. And it didn't just blow apart. He must have blew on it hard enough, you know, like these hair dryers and these hand dryers in the restroom that don't work. Here's how you dry your hands in a public restroom. You stand here for 20 minutes like this while that thing blows on you, and then you walk out of the bathroom like this. And that ain't the kind of dryer God used. When he blew those Red Sea apart, he blew it so hard it dried up the ground. And you know, if it rains in Delaware or Georgia where we was living at, it's muddy for 3 weeks. But you're talking about splitting the Red Sea apart. That's a lot of water, by the way. And then the ground's dry enough to walk over. That's God. And that tells me this, if it doesn't tell me anything else, God's a way maker.
Yes, sir.
Well, preacher, if I start living for God, a lot of things are going to have to change, and a lot of people, and a lot of things, it's going to upset my whole life. Yeah, but God will make a way for you to do it. God will make a way for you to do it. You might not become world popular or anything like that, but that's not the life you ought to be chasing anyway. That's not the life you ought to be chasing anyway. I mean, just look at the people who live that life that you're glorifying. It don't work out well for them. They grow up in a little church and sing in the choir, and then the devil recognizes their talent and lifts them up and exalts them and gives them great money, and then they die in a bathtub.
Yeah.
See, why do all these rock stars die at young ages? That's the easiest question in the world to answer, because they're put in front of billions and billions of people to display this rebellious lifestyle that the devil's trying to communicate to the world, but the wages of sin is death. And if the devil's going to use them to promote sin, God's going to use them to promote the wages of sin. They're going to die early. They're going to die young. And according to the way they offend their own conscience, their judgment will come faster or slower. But it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. You say, well, preacher, how do I get out of it? God will make you a way to get out of it.
Yep.
You say, well, my friends, I don't know about my friends. Why don't you trust God with your friends?
Amen.
I won't have as many followers on Instagram. You don't even need it.
Amen.
You don't need it.
That's right.
What am I going to do with my time if I can't listen to Michael Jackson? There's plenty of folks that sing good music. And they'll probably give you their CD. They might not. But what difference does that make? You spend $100,000 on your record collection.
Yeah.
Oh, now we're talking about money. God can help you out with that too. Amen. Amen. He sure can. Well, I tell you what, I'm never going to that church again. All they want's money. What does Comcast and Verizon want, by the way?
Come on.
How much was that Apple iPhone? They give you that for free.
Yeah.
Huh?
Right.
You old hypocrite. You just won't give nothing to God.
Yeah.
Mm. I'd hate to be saved and go to heaven and find out I financed Michael Jackson and find out my preacher was living in poverty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
You know how many preachers quit every year? You don't know the figure, but it's big. It's big. You know what the number one killer of preachers' ministry is? They don't make enough money. Hmm? All they want's money. Takes money. Uh-huh. Well, how's God going to make a way, brother? He just does. You don't even know. You don't even need to know how he's going to do it. You just need to know he's a waymaker, and he is a waymaker. Amen. There's no question about that. And I tell people without question. This is my own personal testimony, and I don't do much of this when I'm preaching. But I'll tell you, God will make a way. He will make a way. We left here 10 years ago to go pastor a church in Georgia. We were making good money. We had a nice house. We had good cars. Had a nice Harley Davidson. Let me just reminisce on that for just a minute. Yeah, that was a nice bike. And so this little church in Georgia said, come on down, we'll pay you $300 a week. And I went, and my wife done that a couple of times too. And I said, hey, you think we can do this? My wife said, I said, sure we can do it. It fell to us. We can do it. Absolutely. We went to Georgia for $300 a week, and that was a big pay cut. Big pay cut. And in my mind, if God take care of other people, he take care of me. How are you going to make it? I don't know. But I really don't have to know. All I have to know is I serve a God that can not only save me and change me, but he can help me and support me and give me a job if I need one and give me a money if I need it. God can do that for me. And I've always just trusted God that way because he's got to be smarter than me. And he's got to be more efficient than me. And he's got to have more foresight than me. I just let him do it. Amen?
Amen.
And we got down there, and they were serious about 300. And I got a job, and that job was about 30 miles away. So that's 60 miles a day. And I was making minimum wage at that job. And it was actually costing more to drive back and forth to that job than it was doing. So I went to a camp meeting 1 week, took a week off of work, went to a camp meeting, and Brother Don Green was preaching, and for the first part of the message he preached on God making a way, and God will make a way. And then he was just about finished, and he started preaching, kind of preaching and giving an invitation at the same time, and he talked for 20 minutes about God will pay the way. God will pay the way. God will pay the way. God will pay. And he must have said that 50 times. So I said right there, I was sitting right there about where Brother Joe is at the White Plains Baptist Church, and I said, okay, Lord, okay. And so on my way home, I called my boss man. I said, I can't work for you no more. I work for the Lord. He said, well, you don't make enough money over there, do you? That's the reason you had to come to work for me in the first place. I said, that's all right. Lord told me I could go ahead and do it. Went full time. Within a couple months, the church raised my salary up, made a good salary, turned around and bought a house and gave us a house and paid for our electric bill and paid for my gas in my car. And pretty soon they was paying for everything. You say, that's pretty wonderful. No, God's done that plenty of times.
Yeah. Yeah.
God's done that for plenty of people.
Yeah.
God's done it for better people than me.
Yeah.
And if he'll do it for me, God will make a way for you.
Yeah.
God's a way maker.
Amen.
God's a way maker. I've seen this 100 times. I've probably seen it more than 100 times. I've been in church since 1974, and I've seen people come in and get right with the Lord, and the preacher preach on tithing, and people go, oh, I could never tithe. Well, God will make a way for you to do that. Sure he will. And start putting in $10 a week, $20 a week, $30, and God just makes a way for you to do that. How could I possibly make it on $20 less a week? You'd be surprised what you could do. do what God tells you to do. He'll make a way for you to do it. He'll make a way. How could I tell my friends I ain't going to drink with them no more? Just trust God.
Amen.
And follow God. Amen?
Yep.
You say, why? Because he's a way maker. That's why. God made a way. Yeah, we could go through the rest of the chapter and God drowned Pharaoh in the water. God's going to do that again one of these days. When he makes that new heaven and earth, he's going to take Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar and all these world leaders and put them right where they belong. And God's going to put the people who've been serving him on top. And all I can ask you this morning is, when he does that, will it be you? It's not something you have to do, but it ought to be something you want to do. Want to be one of God's people, following the way maker. Amen? Never been sorry. Paul said he wasn't ashamed. Not one time did God ever give Paul a reason to be ashamed that he put his trust in him. The world can't say that. The devil can't say that. Maybe some of you husbands and wives can't even say that about your spouse. Maybe they've got reason to be ashamed of you. I know my wife got some reason to be ashamed of me. I'm not the man I ought to be. But God is the God he ought to be.
Yeah.
And he come to save fellas like me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he come to help fellas like me.
Yes.
Fellas that just ain't got it together, the Lord come to help folks like me make it through this old life. We make a mess of it sometimes, don't we? But he keeps making ways for us. You keep your trust in him, no matter how frail and fragile you are. God will strengthen you and underpin you and lift you up because he's a faithful God.
Amen.
If the Bible says it once, it says it many times. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape,
yes,
that you may be able to bear it. Amen. God's in the business of helping folks bear it. Whatever it is, that's God's job. Amen. We ought to trust him. Lord, we do thank you this morning.